Let me repeat what we will do at the conclusion of the Mass. I will put the white cope on. We will have an incensation of the Blessed Sacrament, which will be in the ciborium on the altar. Then we will process to the other chapel, and during the procession you will sing the Pange Lingua. You sing the verses to the last two in the procession. And when we get there, we will have the last two verses, the Tantum Ergo and the Genitori. Then I will repose the Blessed Sacrament. You please follow again in twos the cross bearer back to this chapel. We have the conclusion of the service by way of the stripping of the altar. I want to ask you to arrange that we have someone before the tabernacle until midnight. If you can stay a little while after the Mass this evening, that will be good, and those of us who live nearer should plan to stay from, say, 10 to 11, if one or the other of you can do so, or some of you. And then I will take from 11 to 12. The idea is to adore Christ from the time of Mass until midnight. You know that the reason that we have this special adoration is because we are celebrating the gifts of Christ, of the Mass, and of the Blessed Eucharist. We refer to the Blessed Eucharist as the sacrament in which the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord is contained, offered, and received. As contained, we refer to the Blessed Sacrament, or rather to the Holy Eucharist, as the Blessed Sacrament. As offered, we refer to the Holy Eucharist as the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And as received, we refer to the Holy Eucharist as Holy Communion. It is good to keep those three terms in mind and the distinction among them. The Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and Holy Communion. Keep also in mind that when our Lord instituted the Blessed Sacrament, He said the first Mass. And at the Mass, He said, "This is my body, this is my blood of the new and eternal testament, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the remission of sins." And in saying that His blood would be shed, He was referring, of course, to the death that He would die the next day. We could not have the Mass unless Christ really did offer Himself in sacrifice and go the way of the cross. It was necessary that Christ die in an oblation of Himself, an act of worship and expiation to God the Father, in order that the Mass be efficacious, that the Mass of the Last Supper be efficacious. Everything, obviously, depended upon Christ's actually dying. And through His dying, He became the Lamb of God, the victim of all sin. We must, when we consider the Holy Mass, keep in mind that it is an act of expiation. which is to say that Christ died in order to make up for the sins of men. We all understand this in our own case, but we may not always advert to it in the case of Almighty God. Sin is essentially an offense against God. And because God is infinitely good, no offense should happen. Not even the slightest offense should be offered to Almighty God. Properly, everything must be done according to His will. And just because sin is so rampant, and just because sin is so commonplace, and so not only easy to commit, but hard to avoid, we must not imagine that, therefore, God has to accept the fact that sin is going to happen. That because men are so fallible and so wicked, that therefore sin is a part of creation. We have rather to advert to the fact that sin is a great abomination, that no matter that men do sin, it is never to be taken for granted, as if it should be. We take for granted, for instance, that we're going to get our hands dirty. We take for granted that we are going to get sleepy and hungry and tired, because these are a part of the human condition. But we may never take for granted that God is offended, because there is nothing worse than that God be offended. And since God is offended, it is necessary, divine justice requires, that all sin be expiated, which is to say, something has to be done to make up for this violation of His goodness. Something that is at least as much of an assertion of His goodness as sin is a denial of it and a violation of it. You've all heard it said that a single drop of the blood of Christ would have been sufficient for the atonement of all sin, because Jesus was God. And that God would suffer is altogether contrary to what ought to be. That He would suffer is, we might say, something unthinkable. And for Him to suffer is such a surrender of Himself, that even the slightest suffering on the part of a person who is divine is sufficient for an atonement for all sin. It is in the way that the Lamb of God chose to sin that we see not only the gravity of the sin, but the greatness of the expiation. And when we observe Christ in His sufferings, keep in mind that we have an act of the most blessed Trinity. The Father requires it, the Son offers it, but it is in the Holy Spirit that the Son offers it. So that the great atonement is achieved by the most blessed Trinity, each of the three persons doing what it is the role of each of the three persons to do. We might say that with regard to the Holy Spirit, that as the Holy Spirit drove the blessed Christ into the desert to prepare for His mission, for His ministry, so in the garden the Holy Spirit prepared the soul of Christ in order that the sacrifice might be most perfect, might be consummate. All of this, of course, we keep in mind because we are the sinners. When we see Christ in His passion, we are aware that it is His love that drives Him to it. It is the love that God has for us that the Father that requires, that the Father demands this sacrifice, this total sacrifice of Himself, of the Son. It is the love, that is the Holy Spirit Himself, the love that the Son has for us, but primarily for His Father, that drives Him to offer Himself in this sacrifice. I remind you what I often say to you, remember that the primary and the ultimate motive of all that God does is Himself. It can never be man. It must always be God and His goodness and glory. But we are the great beneficiaries of this act of most perfect worship, because, first of all, our sins are atoned for by this sacrifice. And then through the Mass, Almighty God has made it possible for us to be present at this sacrifice. Since we cannot go to Calvary, through the Mass, Calvary is brought to us. And since we, being human, since we live a sequential life, one day following another, we have to have the Mass with us not only once in a lifetime, but throughout our lives. We have to have it as our act of atonement, as our act of worship. But besides that, we have to have it as the source of our food, that is, the source of the Blessed Eucharist, Holy Communion. The Mass is given to us once and again in order that the Lord Jesus may feed us on this most sacred body of His, which is the power of life, sanctifying grace, the power of life that is on this earth, and the power of life evermore, the everlasting life of heaven. I urge you then this evening, express your profoundest gratitude to Almighty God for the Mass, for the Blessed Sacrament, which is Christ abiding with us, and for Holy Communion, Christ your food and your medicine. Express to Him furthermore your gratitude for the fact that you, among the few, have not lost this divine sacrifice. All of you know that what we have here is now a most precious commodity. This is the most precious thing you have in your daily lives. One of the things that occurs to me constantly, due to the fact that I deal with those who are still wrestling with the matter of the new Mass versus the old Mass. The thing that comes to my mind so often is that those who have accepted the new Mass have no sense of what the Mass is. They have lost all sense of its holiness, of its preciousness, of its sacrosanctness, of its inviolableness. It is because they have been totally bargained out of the Mass that they've lost the sense of their own riches in Christ and they've lost a sense of the one thing that they should have been prepared to die rather than lose. Because without the Mass, we cannot live as Catholics. We cannot live on this earth without the Mass, nor can we live forever without the Mass, because, as I said, it is the source of our supernatural food and drink here and of our everlasting life in heaven. But the conciliar Catholics, in their discussion, are constantly at a loss to find any problem. When we try to bring home to them what their loss is, they are unaware of a problem. They are unaware that they have lost anything. One cannot look for, nor miss, nor regret what he does not know he has lost. And that is their lamentable condition. We cannot even reason with them because they are so blithely ignorant of their poverty, of their despoilment. Therefore, during this Mass, you express your gratitude for the unexplained grace that you have received, that you know of this treasure, that you know that this is what a man is supposed to be ready to die rather than lose, or even see it violated. This which we have, because it is the body and blood of Christ, the Son of God, offered to the Father. It is the great achievement of Christ, which could only have been given to us, given to the world, provided to the Church, through Christ having given himself on the cross.